The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another great edition of Wrestling at the Max NXT Review for May 9th, 2018. I am your host, Gary Vaughn, and along with me is your co-host, Brandon Biscobean.
Hey, what's it going on?
Oh man, Brandon, I'm excited to just be back and doing some NXT talk, buddy. Yeah? I mean, my God, it feels like forever. Harry's done a great job. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's always great at what he does, but man, it just feels nice to be back in this seat. I know I got to join you for Raw, but boy, NXT is one of my favorites, so this is just even more comfortable than ever.
Oh, yes. And it was a good one.
Yeah, it was a really good one, and you're definitely right about that, and I'm excited about talking about it. And before we do that, though, I want to make sure everybody knows that, hey, if you want to come find out all the great review shows that we do, not just NXT, but Raw, SmackDown Live, 205 Live, and, of course, your regular episodes of Wrestling to the Max, make sure you hit us up on W2Mnet.com. That's right. That's the website you go to find all our great content and all the other great wrestling shows and everything else under the sun when it comes to sports, entertainment, and, of course, don't forget video games. Make sure you go check all those great things out over there. And, of course, hey, if you're on your maybe tablet or maybe you're listening to us in your car, you're probably finding us through some podcasting platform. Maybe it's iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. I don't know. Whatever you're using, though, make sure you go hit that subscribe button at the W2M Network. Once you do that, you get every single great podcast that we have to offer. And it's just one simple click, and then all that, basically every single show that we do gets right in your dock, and it's available right then. And don't forget to also go subscribe and rate, review, all that good stuff. And make sure you also give our friends over at 411mania.com and lastronprowrestling.com also a look as well. They do some great content over there, and we want to make sure we give them some love. Well, Brandon, I am excited to talking about this. This is the beginning of NXT for this week, and we have Ricochet coming down to the ring looking rather dapper. I know he looks good in his nice clothes, and he comes out to address the crowd and kind of talks about, you know, his past a little bit, gives the crowd a little bit about what he was about in the past and what he's about now for NXT. And as he's doing this, we have the Velveteen Dream make an appearance, and Velveteen Dream basically says, look, I have done many, many great things here, and you need to be at the back of the line, flippity-flop, which I love in a way. But, yeah, so he kind of runs down that Ricochet, and they kind of have a little back and forth here, but in the end, what we have is Velveteen Dream basically acting like he's going to jump Ricochet, but he doesn't. He kind of lays down on the mat, rolls out, and he's done with the conversation. This was nice. I like the fact that we are getting a little bit more face time with Ricochet. It feels good to me personally. I think it works on what it needs to do. But what did you think about this? I really enjoyed it.
I mean, I liked it. It definitely seems, and we talked about this before, before TakeOver, but it certainly seems like they're giving a push to Ricochet right off the bat, which is great to see. And this is a good little feud for him to start off with, for him to, get over on Velveteen and, move on from there. And like they were both already talking about, this could maybe be, a bit of a not officially, but a bit of a number one contenders match for either the North American title or maybe even the regular NXT title.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something that I think people want to see, right? I mean, this is a matchup that we could all sit there and scream about when, Ricochet was on the indies. I'd love to see him against Velveteen Dream or Aleister Black or some of these other names. And now he's finally here at NXT. We're going to get a chance to see these matches. And not only that, I mean, like you said, the fact that it's not just one of those matches people want to see, but it's also got a match of history, where in that ladder match, those guys were going back and forth, and they put on a tremendous show in a tremendous match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So I think we have lots of stuff to look forward to. You know, Velveteen Dream is one of those guys that automatically he screams star. He just does. He's just all about himself, and not only that, he just exudes charisma. And I think it's something we're going to have to learn with Ricochet, because you could tell Ricochet did a good job, but this is not exactly his forte. He is not the guy that you want to come to when you want to get a home run on the mic.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely more in-ring than promo. But that's a good thing about NXT, is that, you know, they're learning all the time, and they're doing this, and he's able to learn that WWE style, learn how to do better promos. You know, obviously places, you know, with the exception of, you know, the little bit they do after a main event, or obviously the backstage comments. You know, New Japan and Ring of Honor don't really do many promos. So, you know, you don't really learn that too much in the indies unless you were in TNA. So this is a good way, and that's the good thing about NXT, and I think it's helped a lot of guys, like a Seth Rollins, like a Kevin Owens, who came from the indies, to learn how to do promos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely, and, you know, it's something we always have to remind ourselves, right? This is developmental. This mm-hmm. is where they're learning the craft, and I think, you know, Ricochet, he's a great veteran, like you said, but, I mean, this is the place where you go ahead and do all that great work, and that's, you know, getting your feet wet in front of a live crowd and just doing your thing, and I think he didn't do a bad job at all, mm-hmm. but you can definitely tell, I mean, this is not his thing, and he's going to learn, he's going to get better, and that's what's exciting, so mm-hmm. just had to make that comment. I know I people are probably going to, you know, send us messages and say, Gary's hating on Ricochet, but no. I'm not.
I mean, let me just say, you know, he did do some decent promo work in some of his matches against, like, Will Ospreay.
Mm-hmm.
Back in New Japan.
Yeah. And you know, there's some history there. I think, you know, he probably felt more comfortable there, and I think he'll feel more comfortable here. So.
Very true. But the one thing, real quick, before we move on, you talked about Velveteen Dream and, you know, him moving forward. I mean, I know this is looking pretty far into the future, but I'm a little worried about what's going to come of him once they do decide to call him up to the main roster.
You know, you make a valid point, but I think this guy is someone that I think Vince would look at and say, oh, this kid can make money if I could just get him in the right spot. And so they'll throw him in one of those Intercontinental or U.S. title matches
down
the line.
His gimmick just oozes like something that Vince would bastardize.
He might. You could be very right about that, but I think Triple H is probably going to do his best to protect him. Because I think this guy is one of Triple H's, I don't want to say babies, but maybe in a way. I don't know.
One can only hope that by the time he gets called up, that, you know, Vince is so focused on XFL stuff that Triple H is basically in complete control.
Exactly. Can you imagine one day, you know, Triple H is like, okay, kid, we're about to give you a big spot here. You know, you're the second to last match on WrestleMania, so congratulations. And Vince calls, I was going over my football schedule and looked at the TV. You're not really going to have that little kid on the second last match.
You're not really
going to
have that flamboyant gay kid co-main WrestleMania.
Exactly. So who knows? That's what the future will hold for us eventually, probably, but we'll see. Oh, man. Well, let's talk about the next match that, you know, is kind of interesting to me, too. Raul Mendoza comes out here, and he takes on none other than EC3. EC3 gets the victory here in a very short match. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what's what we think about Mendoza?
Can I say it? I know we've had this little running gag going for the last couple of weeks.
It was what was this match?
Squash.
You're right, a squash. And boy, I mean, I can't say that I'm disappointed. I love EC3. I want to see him succeed here. I feel bad. I know you hate him. I'm sorry. I'm an EC3 guy, and I want to see him do some things. Right now, he's kind of bland here on NXT. I'm going to be very honest. I am not on board on everything he's doing just yet. I hope it gets better. I hope it builds, but I think this at least does something for him for those that don't know much about him.
I mean, surprisingly, especially with his gimmick and everything, and the fact that they did kind of give him a spotlight with the North American title, I mean, he was the first one to put his hat into the ring for it when he first debuted. He hasn't really gotten much time. I mean, they showed, like, a little promo vignette the other, last week or the week before last with him. And that's it, really, ever since TakeOver. Mm-hmm. I think this is his first match. This is his first match on NXT TV, correct?
I think it might be. I'm trying to remember back. Yeah, but I think you might be right. I can't remember another one. If there was, it was like this, a squash.
Mm-hmm.
So he has not had to have anything besides that ladder match that has quality to it. So that's why I'm
saying. And they haven't really given him, like, we talked about Ricochet and how he's kind of, he's kind of, what's the word for it? He's very new to promos, but whereas EC3, he's been doing it for a long time in TNA, so he would be one of those guys that you may give a little bit more leeway and let him go out there and do a promo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right about that. You know, and you know, the one thing that I will say about EC3 is that at least coming in now at this point of his career, he's got enough work behind him, enough promos and, you know, matches and doing all the other things that it comes to being a great wrestler. He's had a lot of backstory. He's had a lot of, you know, history with fans that do pay attention to the independents. And he's also got people that are looking at him now, and he can actually show up with confidence. Whereas before this, when his first run with NXT was about not a lot of confidence, not a lot of really clear path for a career, right? So I think right now we are still in the early stages of EC3, but I think he at least has a head start now. So I'm happy.
That seems to be a trend with NXT even since the beginning. I was telling Tori this, and it's kind of funny, you know, back in the day, you know, during the Attitude Era, you had the talent triangle between WWE, WCW, and ECW, where, you know, if someone didn't work in WWE, they'd go to ECW and be successful, or go to WCW and be successful, and then, you know, someone would go from ECW to WCW. You know, and guys would just rotate based and find their niche, pretty much. Now it's the talent pentagon, where it's, you know, WWE's on the top, but then you've got, well, the talent square, really. You've got WWE and NXT. Guys go to NXT and then sometimes go to, you know, will get called up to the main roster, and sometimes they'll flop on the main roster and have to go back to either New Japan / Ring of Honor or TNA. And, you know, then they'll suddenly find their footing there and end up right back in NXT and make the main roster. I mean, we saw it with Drew McIntyre. We now see it with EC3. I'm trying to think. I know there's a few others who started off in, I have a feeling maybe not in the near future, but probably within a couple of years, I could see Juice Robinson making his way back to NXT.
You know what? I mean, that could be a special moment, because his NXT career was just kind of like EC3 here. Very minuscule, not a lot there.
But see, that's the thing about NXT now as compared to NXT back then. Like, you know, back then, NXT was purely developmental. It was just guys that they got, you know, either out of OVW, or, you know, just found on their talent searches, and and then, you know, picked up and put into NXT. But ever since, probably, I'd say, what, 20... I'd say even go back as far as 2012, 2013 with, you know, Seth Rollins. But it definitely picked up in 2014 and 2015. You know, NXT has really become the place where it's like, oh, the top, you know, the top indie talent, WWE, Triple H, you know, pays attention to the indies and says, we want this guy in NXT, and brings him over, and they're the main headliner for NXT, and then they end up moving up to the main roster eventually. And there really seems to be, like, two levels to NXT. The indie stars who have been brought in, and then, like, the guys that they've brought in on the legitimate developmental contracts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way it is. You're right. And, you know, I'm not going to hate on it because I think it actually is working fine at the moment, right?
It is working fine. The only thing, and this is more of a problem on the main roster more than NXT. Mm-hmm. And I love how they're kind of doing a worked shoot with this right now with one Drew McIntyre. But it really is one of those problems where, and Samoa, I don't know if you saw today, Samoa Joe, like, answered someone's tweet on either on Twitter or, like, on a podcast or something. He said, like, hey, I'm making money, you know, that's all that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big problem in WWE right now.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of these veteran guys who have been in the indies for years now make it to the big time, and instead of continuing to say, with the exception of AJ Styles, instead of continuing to say, I want to be the big name, I want to make a statement, they're like, okay, I'm making money now, I can just sit back and relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear that way too much. You really do. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that's told by some superstar on the mm-hmm. WWE roster that's, oh, yeah, you know, you can count stars on my match, but I'm counting my bank account.
Yeah.
And I'm big like, problem. Yeah, that's kind of a bad way to answer that. And, I mean, I get it. You know, those guys are making the money. That's great. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for their family. But don't use that. I mean, let's be honest.
Don't basically tell your fans that you've that you've put
yeah.
shelved yourself. You know.
Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna mail it in now. I'm making big bucks.
That's what I was looking for. Mail it in.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not the way we want it. And I don't think Samoa Joe is, but I think you're right. I think he's not fighting for maybe some of those big matches that we want to see him in, because guess what? I'll just do what the boss tells me to do. And
exactly. You don't have the Stone Colds. You don't have the Triple H's. You don't have the cliques anymore that are going to Vince and saying, this is what we're doing, and if you don't like it, we'll just go elsewhere.
Yep. Because where is elsewhere? And it's well, nowhere I mean, that's going to make a
mess. I mean, while it's not to a WCW level,
mm-hmm.
Cody is the blueprint for if you legitimately want to be a star and don't care, you know, and still make money, still make decent money, if you want to make it as a pro wrestler, you can do it in the indies if you have the work ethic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you could definitely do that. You know, you just got to have that ability to draw that, you know, audience and mm-hmm. draw promoters to hiring you. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot to that. And, you know, to kind of bring this back to NXT, I mean, you see some of these superstars that, you know, have done so much work on the indies and they're ready to just to make it on the WWE roster. And you think about War Machine. My God, I mean, now that they're, you know, changed their name, it doesn't matter. I think those guys are just excited about being a part of the NXT or WWE universe, whatever you want to mm-hmm. say. So they could be the War Raiders. They don't care. They just want to make their money, but not only that, but they want to have good matches and they want to do something that's bigger than what they were. So, we'll talk about them in a little while.
The biggest question to me and the biggest indicator as to how far this trend has gone is if and when well, if or when Young Bucks and Kenny come to WWE. Because once they decide, oh, the, you know, our money that we're making in New Japan and with, you know, Hot Topic and all of this isn't enough, we want the big bucks, and they cash it in and they just, go do their thing and don't stick up for themselves. That's when you know that, for all the talk of the indie revolution, it's not where it is.
Yeah, definitely. So that will be a huge red flag if anyone sees Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks. I mean, definitely, WWE's definitely winning over on the indies, because those three guys you just mentioned, I mean, they're doing so great on their own. They don't need WWE. In fact, they'd be idiots to even go to WWE. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. If they ever did, you would know it's over.
Exactly. So, well, we got some other things on NXT we got to jump into here. Before we move on to the next match, I do want to say that we did have of course, the situation kind of be broke down for us again. You know, we have Pete Dunne dealing with the Undisputed Era. We also have Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch both, dealing with the Undisputed Era, the problems they have. So, they try to approach Pete Dunne and try to convince him to do a triple threat against, what's basically the standing Undisputed Era, which, that means Bobby Fish is still injured. Yeah. So it's going to be a six-man tag next week, and I think that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to the six-man tag.
Especially considering it's happening next week, and I think, I'm not sure if it was you and me talking about this or me and Harry talking about it, he was, it was either you or him was talking about, they wanted British Strong Style to be the ones to take on Undisputed Era. And I think we're going to get this, because with how quickly they're doing this match, I have a feeling that it's going to be a situation where either Oney Lorcan or Danny Burch, especially with how they've been used lately, for a while now, one of those two are going to eat the pin on this. And then Dunn, even with this semi-face turn, he's still going to be what he is. And he's going to beat them down, maybe even have a handicap match against them, and then go and search out Mustache Mountain.
Well, there you go. That could very well be the case, and who knows? I mean, that could be very, very interesting. So you and Harry must talk about that, because I don't remember that conversation.
Yeah, that was me and Harry.
But I mean, it's really interesting, and that could be what takes place. So next week, we'll have to see if what you're saying comes true. So they set that match up for next week, and then, of course, we move on, and we get this match that I think, it was, I would say that's a pretty solid match. But we have Dakota Kai, who, we've seen deal with Shayna Baszler on a pretty regular basis, take on someone that, we were looking to see, and that's Vanessa Bourne. So this match ends up where we have, Vanessa Bourne have a pretty decent match here, but she does not get the victory because Dakota Kai is able to get it, and she earns it. Well, that's about it after that, because guess who comes out to see her? And that is none other than Shayna Baszler. And Shayna Baszler kind of scares her to death. And then Shayna Baszler attacks Vanessa Bourne and leaves her in the ring crying, basically. And so that's intimidating pretty much, I think, to anyone. And then we have also after this a backstage segment where we have still in this situation where we have Dakota Kai being interviewed and all that kind of stuff about the situation, and Shayna Baszler comes and intimidates her a little bit more by taunting her. So I think, not a bad situation here. I think they did a good job of setting up more importantly, this storyline with Dakota Kai and Shayna Baszler.
I just want to say one thing, and sorry to any of those of you who have not watched it yet. So semi-spoilers, but not really. Especially considering her last name. I know it'll never happen, but I would absolutely love a, like, crossover thing with Cobra Kai and have her, like, you know, have what's his name, Johnny, come in as, like, a guest appearance and, like, have him train her and toughen her up and everything. Have you seen that show yet?
I have not. No, okay. I need to watch it.
Well, it's basically, you know, Johnny, the one who lost in the original, from Cobra Kai, basically, while not as, enthusiastically as, Mr. Miyagi did, does take, you know, a kid that's being bullied under his wing, kinda, and reopens Cobra Kai Dojo. So, like, that would be kind of funny to see, like, you know, especially with her last name, like, have her, like, turn heel and be like, I'm Dakota Cobra Kai.
That would be kind of fun, I'll be
honest. And just have her become, like, a complete badass and kick everyone down. And then have, like, a huge match between her and Baszler.
You know, I'm cheesy enough, I would enjoy that to its fullest. But I'm sure there's a big group out there that wouldn't as much as I think me and you would. So
probably,
yeah. So we'll dream about it. We'll yes. definitely have our those dream matches in our minds.
Oh yes,
that's never gonna happen. We'll fantasy book that. Okay.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, really, what you have here is Shayna Baszler still looking strong as ever, and Dakota Kai basically playing that. Underdog as usual. I think this is, of course, going to ramp up to a big match eventually. But I think it's kind of a cool situation because we know Dakota Kai is super talented, and I think it's going to come out when we have that match. But for now, she's going to play a little bit scared, I think, most of the time.
That's going to be interesting, though, how they're going to play this, though, because, you know, that does seem to be where they're leading, but how are they going to have her suddenly turn to where she is able to face Baszler? I think it seems like the next feud, and I'm sure we were about to discuss this after the interview with Dakota, I think the next feud for Baszler is going to be Nikki Cross. But Harry and I were talking about it. I think the best way, especially with what Baszler is doing, the best way to have a Dakota Kai match against her, especially with what's going on in the way to maybe get her some confidence and do that, is by having a Lumberjill match.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fine. I mean, those matches aren't always all that grand. They never live up to what we want them to be.
No, I understand that, but it makes the most sense right now because of how Baszler is acting and being all controlling and terrorizing the rest of the roster. Mm-hmm. You know, it wouldn't be your typical lumberjack match where it's very much heel versus face dynamic at ringside. It would be, everyone would be for Dakota, and, you know, Baszler would be, like, trapped.
Yeah. See, and that's the one thing that you don't want, though, because, you know, you want Shayna Baszler to have the upper hand, and in that situation, she definitely would be the underdog. She would be the one people would start to feel bad for.
Not really, because it would be of her own doing.
Yeah. I understand. I'm just saying that that's some pretty strong comeuppance. That's the most you could have, and you still want Dakota Kai to be basically to be the spotlight, right? To be the one that she does this on her own. If she wins, it's because of her, not so much everybody else on that women's roster.
That's
so
true.
I mean, you know, it's not a bad idea. Just, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
But yeah, I mean, I think this is great, though, to be honest with you. I think this is at least interesting, and I think sometimes when we had Ember Moon and the things that she was doing with Shayna Baszler, it was a great storyline for what it was, but sometimes it just wasn't, I don't know, on par. There was a times where I really didn't care too much, but this one, in its early stages, I kind of care. I kind of want to see what's happening next, and I think it's just more believable with small Dakota Kai in the situation she's put under, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see how they progress with this story. Well, moving on, let's talk about those guys I mentioned earlier. The War Raiders, they take on one of my favorite tag teams, Heavy Machinery. And this is a fun match. I really enjoyed it. I mean, but, you know, it's kind of hard here, to be honest with you, Brandon, for me to be impartial because I both these tag teams. Yeah. So the whole time, who did I want to win? Both? Can I just say both?
But, well, that's the one thing I'm going to say I'm a little disappointed in with this match is that the fact that we got a clear-cut winner. Because I know they're trying to push War Machine and everything. But I would have liked this feud to go on a little more and kind of give both teams the rub, because like I've said before, you know, ever since Heavy Machinery first debuted, and that was right after, you know, the revival and, you know, the last big purge of the tag team division, you know, the revival, DIY just broke up, you know, and all you really had was All Through the Pain and Sanity. It seemed like they may be a team that could be a legitimate threat, and they just haven't been used well ever since, which is very disappointing. You know, I would have liked this to have been... I mean, it was still a good match. They still got in some good moves, but it was very more or less one-sided. I would have liked to have seen Heavy Machinery, you know, at least, like, just have it break out into an all-out brawl or something where you could extend this feud.
Yeah, I'm right there on that, because I believe that this feud has just kind of... It's just been there, but it's not really even a feud. It's just these two great teams attacking each other and just to see who can be better.
I see, this is one of those where it was like, I hate to say it because he's so much better than Vince, but I feel like Triple H kind of pulled a Vince move here, where he was like, as soon as he brought in War Machine, he was like, oh, everyone's going to do the whole, you know, we want to see War Machine versus Heavy Machinery match. And instead of actually building to it and actually giving us a legitimate feud, he was like, I don't want to do that. So just kind of toss that in as their first mini feud just to get it out of the way.
Yeah, and you're probably exactly right about that. And as much as I don't really enjoy the fact that, you know, we got Heavy Machinery taking a pin, I get that point of, hey, let's go ahead and get all those fans chanting for that match out of the way. And then let's move on to the things we want to see War Raiders do. And I think that's maybe their point. You're probably spot on that. I could definitely see that. Do I like it? No. I think, you know, what we're talking about here in the end is that, you know, let's be honest, the War Raiders are the new kids on the block. They're the shiny new toy. Everybody's excited. And you want to see them go run through the entire smorgasbord, or whatever you want to call it, of different tag teams that, you know, NXT has to offer. I mean, there's various tag teams, but, I mean, I think they're knocking the big dogs out first so they can go and hit up all these other little tags.
See, but that's the thing, too, about, you know, and it's kind of funny that, you know, I mentioned Heavy Machinery with when they first started and, you know, looking at the tag division then, but you only really have five legitimate teams right now in NXT, and the bigger teams that would have been fun to see or War Machine or War Raiders, the teams that you would have liked to have seen them feud with are now on the main roster, like an AOP, like a Sanity. You know, Undisputed Era holds the tag titles right now, And then beyond that, you know, you have these two teams, and then you have Street Profits and TM61. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and, you know, TM61 and Street Profits are doing their own thing right now, so you kind of have them on a different plane that you're really not going to have the interaction just yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they also touched on that tonight. I kind of like the fact that even though it wasn't a long segment, we did get some Street Profits in this NXT, which I think is a smart idea. You don't have have them have a match or anything, but having their little video packages is always entertaining. I think those guys do a great job. They've once again, you know, another team that has charisma. So I'm looking forward to see how they play this thing out. I kind of like what we saw with the TM61 cheating. I think that was kind of something that we need to see. We need to see more heel tag teams in NXT.
And well, that's also, that's, you know, a way to get TM61 a victory while not really burying Street Profits at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And you couldn't do that 2 weeks in a row. That's why you had War Raiders win this match, right? I mean, you wouldn't have, scapegoated again. There's just no way you could have done it, and the fans would have definitely been upset if you would have tried to do that. So I totally get it, you know. So the tag division is not doing bad, and right now they're still working their way with all these new tag teams, but it's just something that they've got to get through. You know, this is what NXT is all about, you know, moving on to the next group, and here we are. So.
Yeah. The square continues.
Yeah, you're right. It continues on. Tommaso Ciampa takes on one guy that, I mean, if you're indie fans, Chris Hero, of course, here, Cassius Ohno, that has been a part of NXT off and on, and a guy that's a big veteran. But he takes on Tommaso Ciampa, who is kind of going back to a little bit his indie days in a way by being that psycho killer type guy. This was an interesting match. I think both guys did a pretty good job. I was, you know, happy with what I saw. It wasn't the best match or anything, but I think it was solid. I love the idea of Tommaso Ciampa trying to rake out or pull out the eyeball of Cassius Ohno. That was a great, you know, addition to this match that really showcases that character, who he is and what he's about. And then, of course, you know, in the end here, we do have, you know, Tommaso Ciampa finding a way to get the victory. Even though it's not the cleanest of ways, he does get the win here. What did you think about that, Brandon, and how do you feel about it?
Well, first off, let me go back before the match even started. I love how Ciampa is now going the Dolph Ziggler route of no music.
I noticed that, too. I was like, what's up with that?
It is the super heel move. But yeah, I mean, this match, I would love, I mean, while he's not technically a heel, I guess by their standards he is, but he gets cheered like crazy over there. But I would love to see, obviously not as funny as he is, but you know, for all of the heels, you know, The Miz and Tommaso Ciampa and whatnot, the only types of heels we ever see in WWE anymore are the coward heels. The ones who use, you know, distraction tactics to win. You know, valets, managers, people at ringside, stuff like that. You never get to see the true in-ring, like, you know, referee distraction, sledgehammer to the groin, or, you know, taking off the turnbuckle pads. You don't see that in WWE anymore, and I would love to see that more in WWE.
Yeah, definitely, and, you know, the thing is, you know, WWE is PG-friendly. They're trying to do, you know, little things here or there, but they're not going to the extremes, right? Mm-hmm. Their heels are not going to that level that we saw at one time, and it is a shame because that's what you want. You want an aggressive heel, a guy who's doing literally anything it takes to get that victory. So when you got a Tommaso Ciampa who looks like he is going to, it gets you excited and it makes you happy to see, you know, there is some positive, there is some hope that we'll finally get a heel that is, you know, going to, you know, basically come close to killing somebody, even though he will not. So, Happy to see that. And, you know, Cassius Ohno is just a great veteran, and I think he did a great job in really pushing that thought forward with, you know, what's going on here with Tommaso Ciampa. But, yeah, I mean, I think what we got here was really solid, like I said. I think, you know, from what we're getting from, you know, Tommaso Ciampa, we're getting something special and something that I feel like is just classic. It's classic heel moves. It's classic just heel persona. I mean, what do you think? I mean, my God, Tommaso Ciampa spoiled Infinity Wars for a lot of people. So, I mean, this guy, he's on top of his game.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, he is definitely the probably the best heel currently in WWE. And it shows. I mean, you and I talked about how even in the Ciampa-Gargano feud, some fans were still trying to get a Psycho Killer chant going during some of his promos. But now it's not even, you know, you have nothing like that. I'd say he is the only true heel. I mean, there are certain other people that should be a heel, but for whatever reason, those very contrarian fans, and granted this is the main, well, but those same contrarian fans are the ones who often frequent the NXT arena. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact that they are getting the reactions that they need to get is very good on Ciampa's part. Because look at Miz, look at Samoa Joe, look at Jinder Mahal. Those are the three main names that pop out to me as guys who are good heels in the sense that, you know, their personas are very bad, yet a certain segment of the crowd still cheers them just, you know, out of contrarianism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, what it looks like for me, on my point of view, that all these things that we're talking about here, you know, could mean some great things in the future. But not only that, I think great things for Tommaso Ciampa, because I think all the stuff that he's doing right now is definitely going to have people talking. And I also think that that's something to get the office to look at and I think get excited about.
I will say, though, while maybe this is me, you know, having a little too little faith in it, something that we just talked about before, I think is gonna hinder him when it, you know, whenever he does end up going to the main roster. While yes, still NXT is technically PG, I think, now correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think they are given a little bit more of a leeway there because they are on the network and they don't have, you know, TV advertisers or stuff like that. They don't have the, you know, the very corporate aspect to it, you know, pressing down on them, and instead of towing that line, they're a mile away from it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I totally understand your point. And to me, you know, it does make sense. And, you know, it's really hard. It's one of those where you want to predict, you want to guess how things are going to work out on another platform compared to the one that it's already going with and already working on. We just don't know. But I have some of those same fears that you do. I really do. You know, I think every time an NXT superstar hits the main roster, I've got a little bit of fear and unnervousness or whatever. I don't know what you'd call it. Just uneasiness. Yes. Maybe that's the word.
Yes, that's exactly the word. So. I know it's still very early, and I'm probably jumping the gun here, but considering they haven't been on TV for, what, 3 weeks now? Almost a month now or something? If not a month? Well, actually, it hasn't even... Has it been a month since the Superstar Shakeup?
If it's not a month, it's close to it.
Okay. But it's been a couple of weeks. They really only got, like, two opportunities to do anything. I told you so, AOP. And we haven't even seen Sanity yet.
Yeah, very, very true. And I think Sanity's should be coming pretty soon, next week, I think. But
yeah, I think they did say they are supposed to be coming next week. But
yeah, it's seeing almost too. So yeah, I mean, there's lots of stuff to look forward to in the future. And I think all our fears and all these things that we have, you know, they're just that. They're just fears. We don't know anything just yet. And when it does happen, when we can really decide if we're going to be worried or not. So.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing before we get out of here. We kind of passed over it. It's my fault because I kind of just skimmed right over it. But I do want to talk about Nikki Cross and the fact that they did make her apparent, you know, her laughing at
Dakota Kai. I mentioned it.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. And I kind of moved on past it. I should have stayed there. But since, you know, we need to let people know what we think about that, I'm glad to see her. I'm glad to see that she's still around. What do you think? What's your opinion about what that was about?
She's another one that, you know, them being allowed to toe that line a little more on the network helps her a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you're not going to be able to be fully crazy on a PG show.
As we've seen with the countless amounts of complaints on Dean Ambrose, she's definitely someone that I would love to have high hopes for. And like I said, I think her kind of laughing and doing that and all of that is definitely setting up for a feud between her and Shayna Baszler. The only other person that I could see making any bit of sense as the next challenger for the women's title is Kairi Sane. But it definitely seems like they're gonna... That's why they left Nikki Cross behind. That's why they left her in NXT while the rest of Sanity went up to the main roster. Is to help anchor that women's division, which is pretty much exclusively now... women from the Mae Young Classic. Can you think of anyone else that isn't from the Mae Young Classic in the division right now? I can't.
At least the ones that are on TV right now, you're exactly right. The ones that they've actually put on TV are all from the Mae Young Classic, and there probably is some that we have yet to see that are not, but my goodness. This is exactly the plan they had all along, and that was to use those ladies from the Classic and, you know, give them opportunities and see where they can go. And I think we're seeing it now, and I'm excited about it. So, you know, even though they may not have anybody else on TV and they all have to be from the Mae Young Classic, they're not bad wrestlers.
I'm not saying that as a bad thing.
Yeah. I'm just making the point that they're not bad wrestlers and they're not, you know, uneducated in the art of wrestling. So it's the one thing I will say is that's the biggest positivity I think we have on our side is all these young ladies are super talented. They've got some, you know, wrestling under their belt. And I think that only means we're going to get better matches. Mm-hmm. We're going to get better NXTs because of it. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm right there with you. I like Nikki Cross. I think she's got a lot to offer. I think that, you know, guys being crazy is going to be something completely different from everyone else on that NXT women's roster.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's going to be special. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the future.
That's the one thing that I'm a little worried about with some of the... I mean, granted, some of them, we haven't seen enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, whilst their gimmicks are kind of different, some of the women from the Mae Young Classic kind of blend together.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, that's the biggest problem that they have at points, and that's something that they need to stay away from as much as possible because you don't want to be generic,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to be just create a superstar number three.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, the main ones that are different right now, and one of them is mostly just through circumstances, but the main ones that are different, obviously Baszler, Kairi Sane, Dakota Kai and what's her name? The EST.
The EST. I'm trying to think.
Bianca Belair. There we go.
Oh yeah, yeah. There you go. Yep. So I mean, you're right. I mean, those are some great gimmicks. That's something that stands out, and I think that you know, it's a work in progress for the others that you didn't mention. So. But yeah, so there you go. Well, let's move ahead and go ahead and give this thing a rating. What did you rate this one?
I'll give it a 6.5. You know, the opening segment was good. It's gonna set up an interesting and fun feud between Ricochet and Velveteen. The middle of the show was kind of just, you know, a lot of filler. You know, The Dakota Kai and Shayna Baszler stuff, you know, that was good, setting up that, and then obviously you had the Nikki Cross thing, later, like, during the interview, which sets up more things for the women's division. But beyond that, the middle of the show was kind of just there, you know, the EC3 and Raul Mendoza match was just a squash. You know, War Machine and Heavy Machinery, while it was a good match, you know, while it was a good match, you know, not taking anything away from it, like I mentioned before, I would have liked to have seen them do something to where this wasn't just the end and it wasn't just like a one-off thing. I know we talked about why they're doing this, but, you know, I would have liked to have actually seen that feud. And then the main event was pretty solid, but nothing too spectacular.
Yeah, you know, a 6 is right about where I'm at. I think, you know, for the same reason you just mentioned, you know, the main event was, you know, good, but it was not over the top great. I think that, you know, we had some other entertaining matches, but, you know, there are some points where I'm thinking to myself, this isn't the best, this is okay, mm-hmm. It's fine. And some of the storylines they got into in this episode, I think they did a real good job on them. I really, really do. Mm-hmm. But you know, it didn't make a big enough impact where I'm going to give this thing a huge, huge high rating or anything. So I think we're right about that same page. You 6.5, me 6. I think this is about where, I think a lot of people stand. So. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go, folks. Man, well, we've had a lot of fun. We've gotten to some big topics on this episode of NXT. But make sure you come check us out next week for another great edition. We're really looking forward to that. Like I said, we are looking forward to that big six-man tag. That's right. That'll be happening next week on that NXT review show. We're looking forward to talking about that and a lot more. Make sure you go check us out at W2Mnet.com or, hey, wherever you get your podcast from, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com, iTunes, wherever it is. Make sure you go ahead and hit that subscribe button over at the W2M Network. That gets you all our great shows in one nice package. And don't forget to also go ahead and make sure you've hit a rating. Give us 5 stars if you want. And also make sure you leave a review. Tell us what you think. And of course, once again, 411mania.com and lastworldprowrestling.com. Please go give them some love as well. They do a great job and we want to make sure we give them some support. Besides that, of course, I once again am Gary Vaughn. He is Brandon Bisco-Bing, and we will catch you guys down the road.